Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our time of worship together today. And today being Father's Day, happy Father's Day to all the dads amongst us. Yeah, thanks, Kayleen. Now, I'll mention something about Father's Day in a little moment, but let's just begin as we hear a word of Scripture. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Just those first few words. How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us. Not just given us, lavished upon us. That we would be called children of God. And that is what we are. So as sons and daughters of God, as children of God, we gather in his name, the name of Jesus, to worship. So I invite us all to stand as we sing our first song this morning. Please stand.
May I then in him be found.
again, welcome to everyone this morning, and we'll be gathering around the communion table in a little while, which is a symbol of God's incredible love for us. As I said, today is Father's Day, and that probably has a whole range of emotions for people. For some, it's a chance to catch up with their dads. Perhaps in this time of COVID and all of that, that means that's not possible. But maybe Father's Day for many people isn't all that the media would hype it up to be. Maybe you've recently lost your dad and you experience the pain of that loss. Maybe as a parent, as a father, you've lost a child. And so your heart grieves on a day such as this. Maybe there's tension in your relationship with your father. And perhaps your dad wasn't the ideal father that sometimes we like to have this image of or talk about. It's not always as easy a day such as this. There are great things to celebrate, and we are thankful for those opportunities to celebrate our relationships. But maybe you're a person who hasn't had the chance to have children, haven't had a chance to be a father. And that too touches things deep within us. So I'd just like to take a moment to acknowledge that whole gamut of emotions that people would experience today as we pray. Lord, today, Father's Day, impacts all of us in some shape or form. We gather together before you, our God, and with you, our God, to celebrate what we've talked about and read in that passage from 1 John. How great is the love that the Father, God the Father, has lavished upon us. Today we recall the families in which we've grown up in. We're aware of our fragility. We give thanks for the things to be joyful and to celebrate. We acknowledge perhaps the heartache that sometimes is there. Lord, on this day, may we keep our eyes fixed on the Father's love, of God the Father, who has lavished his love upon us, that we would be called sons and daughters, children of God. Lord, on this day, may we never lose sight of and come to know the depth of your love for us this day. Amen. I'm going to ask Colin to come forward, and got some notices, etc.
Right, just to welcome everyone. It's great that people, one, are here, but as well that we're keeping our distance, and I hope you're taking note of those little strips of material that the battens are putting together, and each one with a keeping separate notice on it. Very cleverly done. But welcome. Friends, please check. Those of you who are IT savvy, pick up your focus from your computer. And it's great to see that some of the people that we've been praying for are actually back and well again, which is wonderful. And I just draw your attention to the fact that tomorrow night the elders will be meeting. So please, as you think about us, please pray for the elders as we meet. I'd also like you to be praying for the Baptist Union. It's now the Baptist Association of South Australian Churches or something, but it's listed there, and I'd like you to keep those in prayer because they have all situations to work through, and I know that some of you from H21, there's a working through of a situation there. So, please, they seem to be distant sometimes, but it's good if we can just keep them in our prayer. On the back page, there's a reminder for those who fit into the seniors category. Also, basketball for those who fit into the basketball category, and thank you for those people who have brought groceries and put them in the Westcare, because that was overflowing, I think, last week, and that's great, so please keep that going. And if you didn't collect the leaflet about the persecuted Christians, please pick that up so that you've got that to be praying for the church worldwide. And this week, Murray, did you turn 80? Your birthday? Or next week? Oh, next week, coming up, just a few days short. So life begins at 80. I'm not sure what the first 80 years have been, but that hasn't been life. Life's now going to begin, Murray. So we'll see. So a very happy birthday, a very happy birthday to you. Right. Now, have we got many children? Few? Yes? Any children who'd like to come down the front? I'd love to talk with you.
No? All right.
One big brother. One little brother. Right. Well, I wonder if you can remember what I was talking about last week. Now, you weren't here last week, Alexander, were you? Right. So we have to see if you remember, Amber. Do you remember what we talked about last week? What did we talk about last week? Pardon? We talked about the three little pigs. We did talk about the three little pigs. They're all laughing because that's a fairy story that people would know, and it wasn't, the other part of the story was about God, you see, and they're all saying, oh, because they always remember what I talk about to children too. They don't remember about the God bit. They always remember about the fairy story, yes. Well, last week I was talking about some people of God who were building a big building. Alexandra, have you ever been part of building a building? No? You've never had to help put down a footpath or some pavers or anything like that? No? All right, well, they were building a building, and I said they didn't quite use bricks like we might use today to build a building, but it was really a mixture, I think, of some nice bricks like that. Well, big stone bricks and some bricks like this, because it was a big wall around their city, like a big wall around Adelaide, but not quite as big as that. And it had been pushed down, and so they decided to rebuild it. And they were rebuilding it with God's help, and everyone got in. Kids got in and helped. Mums and dads got in and helped. Grandmas and grandpas, everyone got in and helped. Wouldn't that be exciting? So what I've got today is this. Can you see, that big plan of the building, how they're building it? See that building, how they've got that? Right, and there's going to be one each for you for that. And then it's a bit like a Where's Wally? All right, you know Where's Wally, where you've got to find Wally in the picture? Well, there are some things there. So you have to find two ladders and colour them in black. Three sets of steps and colour them in blue. All right? So you have to do that today. So that'll help you remember that God helped these people build this wall, and God helps us with whatever we're doing in our life. So I wonder if you could carry these up to the table, because you never know how many people are here, and some come in late. Hello. They just happen to be part of our family. So, right, if you could carry that up to the back table, and you could carry the green ones, please, because this tells people what... Whoops. Yes, there you are. Thank you. Carry those up. Do you want to? You could go up, Ollie. And anyone else who comes in, they can just join in as we go. I think there's plenty of room up there. Yep. Good. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to now move into a time of communion, and might invite those who are going to help with distributing communion to gear up, whatever, to come forward. Just to prepare us for communion this morning, just remain seated and let's sing together the song that speaks of God's amazing love. So just remain seated, and perhaps those who are going to come and help, we might get them, invite them to come forward at this stage. We're going to sing of the amazing love of God. Sometimes we can just do communion without really opening ourselves up to the wonder and the beauty and the power of what we celebrate and remember here at the table. Maybe one of the blessings, if you like, of this COVID season is that we have to do it a little bit slower, that we can just pause for a moment and reflect upon the significance of this meal that we share together. I had the privilege during the week to share communion with one of the patients at the hospital. And as we were just sitting there talking and preparing for communion, they said to me, "Do you know what? I'm struck by what communion's about because we've wandered far from God. We've sinned," this person was saying. And they said, "God could have done one of two things. He could have said, 'It's all too hard, forget them.' But he chose to send his son to give us life. God had options, if you like. He could have said, 'Forget it. They've wandered too far away. I've wandered too far away.' But no, God chose to send his son to save me." It was very significant for that person to make that statement. It was very significant and a good reminder to me of the depth of the love of our God. So as we receive communion this morning, and it'll be a similar sort of format, our servers will give them out to you. Take your time. Take and eat. Take and drink. And remember the amazing love, the choice God made, the choice God made for you, the depth of his love in giving his son. And we're reminded in scriptures, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So as we take the bread and the cup, let's remember the amazing love and grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to invite our helpers to come forward in distributing communion this morning. And they know the drill, and I think we all know the drill. Just take our time to take, eat, and drink. Thanks, guys. Thank you. is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks, a participation in the blood of Christ. And it's not the bread that we break, a participation in the body of Christ. We thank you yet again for the reminder of your amazing love. We thank you yet again for the gift of Jesus. We thank you yet again for you choosing to send your Son to give his life that we might have life and life to the full in Christ alone. Let's remain seated and continue our worship as we sing In Christ Alone.
Bible reading today is from Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 to 15. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from these heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What are they building? If even a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their walls of stone. Hear us, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs and the Ammonites and the men of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people of Judah said, "The strength of the labourers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemy said, "Before they know it or see us, we may be right there among them. We will be right there among them and we'll kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, "Wherever you turn, they will attack us." Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, "Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to his own work.
Now, if you're a person who takes notes or likes to follow and you haven't got a little green sheet in front of you, go and pinch one from someone who doesn't look like they're going to be following it. Chapter 4. And I don't know whether you've been reading in between time, whether you've actually decided to read the story that is so exciting and to follow on. But let's continue with the story today. Now, some of you will be laughing and saying, "White anting the wall. How do you white ant a stone wall?" Well, it's just really that it's being undermined, and that's the problem that they faced. The wall is being undermined from all directions. But on the front of the little leaflet today, how we end up is that they rebuilt the wall at least to half the size. Now, just quickly, we rebuilt the wall because people worked with all their heart. Just refreshing, I should really point to people and say, right, tell us chapter 1, tell us chapter 2, where are we up to in chapter 3? I won't be that nasty today. But we saw the problem. The wall was down. Why was the wall down? The people of God had been beaten and taken into captivity because they had been disobedient. Yes. What did Nehemiah do? Right. Set up a plan. No. First of all, he wept and he prayed and he fasted, and that took 4 months. Sometimes when we're challenged with a situation, we need to just take time. As Paul said today, the virus has made us take time. Then a God-given opportunity in answer to his prayer. We don't realise sometimes the way God answers prayer in ways that we would never expect. Give God time to do what he wants to do without rushing. God, really, I wanted this to happen yesterday. But God sometimes says, actually, we need a little bit of time here. And he prayed to God. The amazing thing was, it was the king who asked the question. If Nehemiah had asked the question, he would have lost his life. So Nehemiah got the facts. Then in chapter 3, he set a plan. And off they started. And now we have the attacks. Let me remind you, as I remind myself, that everything that's happened this week should have been an act of worship. One of the sad things that we've done in the Christian church is that we've made music the act of worship, whereas really it's our life that's the act of worship. Everything we do, I mean, we might only sing here for 10 minutes, but we live the rest of the week. So they built the wall. Isn't that a funny thing? Building a wall can be an act of worship. Yes. All that we do can be an act of worship, can't it, Annie? Yes. Good. Right. So here we go. And I don't need to remind you, but I will, that actually what happens is that as soon as anything happens in terms of the kingdom, there is always opposition. When anything for God takes place in our life personally, in our church, or even in mission, there will be opposition. Why? Because the things of God are opposed to the things of the world. So we need to be aware that that is going to happen, whether we like it or not, and in fact it's still going to happen. Now, there's always opposition, and look how it comes. Anger, rage and ridicule. We've heard these guys before, Sanballat and his mates, but when they heard, he was angry and enraged and ridiculed. Have you come across that as a Christian? That people, when you're a Christian, they sort of get upset or ridicule. Now, friends, we are going to be persecuted, Jesus told us. And why will we be persecuted? Simply because we're righteous. We're doing the right thing. And that confronts the opposition, people who think so differently. And we need to be careful of that. And then they laugh. They say, even a fox is going to break down the wall. What a laugh. Even a fox is going to break down the wall. And he, this is Sanballat in verse 2, in the presence of his brethren and the army of Samaria. What are they doing? Oh, will they get it finished in a day? How stupid. Look what they're doing. But all the time, the people of God are simply working on building a wall. Might be a good lesson for us, friends, that sometimes people might laugh at us. We just need to keep on with what God is asking us to do. Yep, we can be laughed at, we can be ridiculed. Do you really believe that? Well, actually we do, and we're just going to continue on as we are. Now, ridicule, unfortunately, leads to discouragement. He doesn't retaliate. Nehemiah doesn't say, well, we're going to do it anyhow, God's on our side. No, he just prays and on he goes. It's really very interesting, his prayer. But we realise, friends, that when we are discouraged, sometimes it leads to these things. I've got there, it can lead to depression, discouragement, we're demoralised and we're disappointed. I think in church life we can all feel those things. Why aren't more people becoming Christian? Why aren't I sort of progressing more in my Christian life? Why aren't things working out? And so our reaction to this situation with discouragement can lead here. What do we need to do, or how does that then work out? We avoid things, we're negative, we're sick, we're critical. Oh, I don't like the church either. And sometimes when we become discouraged, it has a physical effect on us. Well, we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware. So these people, what did they do? Well, they actually continued to build the wall. In verse 6, we built the wall and it was joined together half its height, for the people had a mind to work. They weren't discouraged. They just kept their focus and worked on. Now, if you're a person who might become discouraged, please just take note. Now, I don't say this is an extensive list. All I'm saying is that it might be helpful. When we're confronted with discouragement, it's a good thing to pray. It's also a good thing to do something, to work and to pray. Find friends, or at least a friend, who maybe is a Christian friend who can support and encourage you in the midst of discouragement. And just do one thing at a time. Sometimes discouragement comes because it looks like a mountain. You know, if they'd have said, oh, we've got to build this enormous wall. Well, what did Nehemiah do? The first thing he said was, if I'm going to be successful with this, the first thing I need to do is talk to the king so that I can be released from my job. He didn't start planning the wall at that stage. The first thing. So for some of us, if we are discouraged and the big mountain is in front of us, let's just deal with one thing at a time. Let's just take away one rock or whatever we have to do at a time. And then don't give up halfway. We're going to find that these people didn't give up halfway. They continued on. So, now, there's an opposition. There's a physical force. And these people, the Ashdodites and Sanballat, he was from the north and also the Ashdodites from the west. Tobiah and the Ammonites from the east, the Arabs from the south, they were angry and they plotted together to fight against us. Isn't it interesting? People who don't normally get on somehow get on to fight either against Christians or whatever. Remember the Jesus? The people who didn't get on, they got together, though, to fight against him. Isn't it interesting how sometimes when Christians are succeeding in something, people who don't normally get on somehow band together? Yeah, we don't like Christians either. What about evolution? You know, and they go on about all of those things. So they were angry. They plotted together to fight against Jerusalem. How amazing. But what did Nehemiah do? We set guard and we prayed. There was a God component and an us component. And we worked. So there's always meant to be a partnership between heaven and earth. We're always meant to work together in that way. Now, yes, you need your glasses for this. If you've got the sheet, have a look, turn to the back sheet. I'm sorry, it was hard for us to find something that was exactly right. So, let me point out, in school teacher mode, what's going on. If you followed from the first week, you'll remember after creation, Abraham comes through. There's a covenant with Abraham, land and descendants. And when the people disobey God, they are taken away from the land. And this is what happens in exile. And I said last week, we're not taken away in exile to another land, but we separate ourselves from God. That's like an exile. When we sin or we're disobedient, we separate ourselves from God. He hasn't moved. God hadn't moved in the exile. The people had been taken away from where they should have been, and that's exactly the same with us and with sin. Now, when they came into the promised land, right, when they came into the promised land under Joshua, the land is divided up according to the 12 tribes. They all get some land. Right. But in time, there's a division. The north and the south. They can't get on. So there's a north and a south division. So we have, here is Judah in school teacher fashion. Right, here's Judah and here's Israel. There's a division. Here's Jerusalem, here in the middle. Right, what happens is that first of all, Israel, Samaria, is taken into exile. Then the prophets say, don't let this happen down here. But it does. And the same thing. So then, Jerusalem. The walls are broken down. That's the problem. Here are the people. Ashdod. Up along here are the Philistines. Down here, or over here, we've got the Ammonites. Over here, we've got the Arabs. They're the people mentioned. And up here, Sanballat with the Samaritans, or the Sumerians, not the Samaritans, the Sumerians, all right? Now you're saying we're more confused than ever. Well, go home and look at a map in your diary and you'll find. But can you see, this is what's happened. First of all, Israel's taken off, Samaria. And what happens is that the Samaritans, who we read about the Good Samaritan, they intermarry that group of people. So that when they want to come back and be part of Jerusalem, Ezra says, hang on, you're not pure. You've intermarried, you're not pure Jew anymore. And there's an upset. And that's why the Good Samaritan is such an amazing story, because the Jews didn't think they were good. They thought they were half-caste. Then we've got Jerusalem falling, and then when we come to about 450 BC, which is when we're talking about Nehemiah, that's when the people come back from exile to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. But there's opposition from all around. Here, 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 and here. These groups of people form together to oppose what's going on in Jerusalem. So it's no surprise that for us, people would form against the church when they see something happening that is worthwhile. It's exactly what happens here. What use is Nehemiah to us? Well, it's a warning that says, be aware that whenever anything that is happening for the good of God, there will be opposition and all sorts of people will band together, even though they didn't normally get on, to oppose. Now, we're all confused? Right. Hopefully, it was very hard to find a map that showed what we wanted to see. Get the story? Into the promised land, tribes, everyone happy, sort of. Then they divide, exile, exile. Now they're wanting to come back to rebuild the wall because Jerusalem's meant to be the centre, revealing to the world God. The Christian church is meant to be the centre, revealing to the world the way to live under the Godship of Jesus. But unfortunately, doesn't always work as easily as that. So, what have we got? Well, we've got this group of people who are opposed to the people of God. And then we've got another upset because the people of God are getting tired. So not only is the wall in a way being white-anted or undermined by the opposition, but now the people of God are saying, we're tired, we've had it, we're exhausted, what can we do? Do we give up? Do we give up? We haven't got any breaks. There's piles of rubbish. We can't get, there's no extra helpers. Great pressure. That could be the church too, couldn't it? We need some extra helpers, particularly under COVID. There's so much to do. Well, I want to say that this is a very important point for anyone who wishes to lead or is in leadership. Nehemiah now listens to what is happening. Judah, there in verse 10, says, the strength of the burden bearers is failing. Da-da-da, there's rubbish, da-da-da-da-da. And then, in verse 11, the enemies now say, and they've moved on. They're not now just laughing. They're saying, we are going to come and kill. We are going to come and kill. We're not just laughing at them. The enemies are a bit more shaky. Actually, the wall's going up. How do we stop this? Well, this is how we have to stop it. And then, in verse 12, some people who live outside of Jerusalem are hearing messages. We are going to come in and do something. And so they come, and 10 times, the Bible says, they repeat, be warned, be warned. Nehemiah listens to other people. Again, I say, if you're in leadership or you strive to be in leadership, listen to what people are saying. Listen carefully to what people are saying. And you probably, in the work of God, have got tired and you think, will I give up? Nehemiah is such a clever guy, so strategic. So what does he do? Well, he thinks, people are tired, people are had it, people are challenging, and there's fear and there's rumours. There's nothing like a rumour to get things going. So what does he do? He works and he gets the family. So he puts the families again working opposite their wall and nearby. Now, if your family is working together, what are you doing? Well, hopefully you're talking. Hopefully you're talking. And hopefully you're saying to the kids who are working with you, we are building this wall and God is not going to let us down. And they're going to see, as it were, a parable or a visual expression of the faithfulness of God right there. And as we get down the track a bit and there's a celebration when the wall is finished, can't you just imagine the lessons that those children have learnt? because they've seen it happening and their mums and dads have been hopefully talking to them about it. Mums and dads, we need to keep talking to our children, whatever age, about the things that God is doing. Well, here we have it. Don't be afraid, says Nehemiah. Don't be afraid in verse 14. Get going. And I looked, he says, and I rose and said to the people, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and fight for your family. Rumours paralyse people. And churches are full of rumours. You've heard of that lady who said, I never repeat gossip. So listen carefully the first time. So we need to be careful that we are not spreaders of rumour. Truth. We are followers of Jesus who said, I'm the way, the truth and the life, and we need to be people of truth. Now, we just heard someone say the other night that they went to get some help and they were told that before you speak to someone, they need love before they get truth. We need to be careful about that too, because we can be very strong on truth but very cold on love. We need to be very, very careful. So, here we have it. Don't be afraid, he says. Yes, we've got the opposition from without. We've got tiredness and we're exhausted from within. But let God do what he wants to do. And God does in a wonderful, wonderful way. So what happens? Our enemies heard. Obviously they saw too, because the messages went back. And they saw what was happening. And God had frustrated their plan. We hadn't frustrated their plan. God had frustrated their plan. How amazing that is. That God was at work. All Nehemiah and his group did were faithful and they kept on with the task that God had given them. Oh, friends, wouldn't it be wonderful if we just kept on with the task that God gives us, whether it's personal, whether it's church, whether it's a bigger picture, and just allow God to do what he wants to do. But we have to keep trusting, and that isn't always easy, particularly in the difficulty that often faces us. So, what did we do? Well, we just went back to work. God frustrated their plan and we kept working. Now, I'm not sure, friends, what situation you face in life at the moment, but I'm sure that some situations like this might crop up. One might crop up that there's ridicule about you being a Christian from within your family, work or wherever. And linked with that could become discouragement. Don't be discouraged. Follow through with a few of those ideas and keep trusting in the living God. And I know some of you have come through times of heartache and discouragement. Just keep trusting God and remain faithful to him. I'm not sure if any of you have ever faced a physical threat because of your faith. But see, this was only a rumour. This was only a rumour. We're going to come and kill them. That'll scare them. Well, no, it won't. No, it won't. They will continue on with the war. We're tired and we're exhausted. Well, I think for most people, particularly for mums, they would say, sleep and food overcome most problems. And maybe that was it here. But they changed their plan and Nehemiah brought in the families. And rumours, well, as I said before, it's only a rumour. It's not even true. So let's not believe what isn't true. Things come that scare us and frighten us and upset us. Friends, God is with us. That's the message. God is with us. And we are going to see this wall built. How incredible. Now, you might want to see walls in your life pulled down. You might want to see mountains removed. But at the same time, what we really want to see is God being lifted up and the wall being built. So don't be put off by discouragement. Don't be put off by tiredness. Don't be put off by rumour. Continue to trust in God and let him do what he wants to do in your life. Because my prayer is that we will let him do what he wants to do in our church. That would be wonderful. We don't need another building. We don't need a wall. Heavens, we've got enough rooms here. But we want to see the church built. We want to see more living stones, as it were, people coming into the kingdom of the living God. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, we thank you that you are the God of heaven and of earth. You are the God who was with Nehemiah, and you're the God who is with us. So, our Father, as we come this morning, we would want to pray that you would allow us to let you do what you want to do in our midst. For we pray through Jesus. Amen. Now, before we sing our last song, Murray quickly wanted to say two things. Is that right, Murray? Good.
The first is that our precious sister Geraldine is asking for prayer because she's going through a difficult time at the moment because something happened in her house which meant that there was a water leak and there's a lot of damage. And while it's being undertaken by insurance and contractors, She was asking for prayer for strength, for confidence, for wisdom about how to do things. So let's just pray for Geraldine for this week, the week or two ahead of her right now. Gracious Father, we want to acknowledge your great love for us and your love for our sister Geraldine. Lord, bless her. Strengthen her. Assure her, Lord, that everything is in your hands and that you will help her every morning. Help her, Lord, as she works around practical issues in her home. Expedite the work, Lord, so that she is once again feeling more comfortable. So we commit our sister into your hands, Lord, in love and concern, and ask you, Lord, to undertake for her through these next couple of weeks. In Jesus' name, mm-hmm. Amen. The second thing is that at the end of this month, we're expecting that the Attorney General in South Australia, Vicky Chapman, will table a bill to amend the abortion law to allow abortion up to full term. And that, in our minds, and it should be in the minds of every thinking person, should be just absolutely anathema. That should be allowed to happen under our laws in South Australia. And I want to urge you, please, at the back of the church on the table out there, at the back there, is a leaflet produced by the SAAAW, which is the South Australian Abortion Action for Women, which is connected with Love Adelaide and Genesis, where they set out what's happening, and they urge us in churches, because we're expected to think righteously about life, about things that we can do, such as little stickers in the back of our car window, which you can get from them, and also action in communication with MPs. So could I ask you, please, to pick up one of those bits of paper. There's only 20 there. I hope it'll be enough. Take it home and pray about it. I was encouraged, Colin, by that first little part in your notes today. Nehemiah's reaction was weeping, praying, fasting and waiting. And I think that's a word for us today in regard to this issue, that we should do some weeping and some praying and some fasting about this incredibly serious matter which is confronting our state. Thank you.
Thanks, Murray.
Let's conclude this morning and sing together a song that speaks of that we'll be strong in purpose and unity, and I think that's something that's coming through the book of Nehemiah. Purpose and unity in God and trusting in God. So as we head out from here to continue our worship through this coming week, that our strength comes from God, from Christ alone, that it's our purpose and unity together as followers of Jesus that enables us to declare his praise throughout this coming week in our acts of worship. So let's stand as we conclude this morning.
To our God, who sits above.
how great is the love that the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called God's children. And that is who we are. Amen. God bless you all, and feel free to hang around. There's tea, coffee, and that's all looked after outside there. So enjoy the rest of the day. God bless you.